And joining me in the studio for the morning interview are Jennifer Cedarleaf and Vicki Vosburgh, here to tell us about the Christmas bird count, which happened on January 4th. Welcome to Morning Edition.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, this is an annual Christmas bird count. It occurs around Christmas time. Why don't you tell us a bit about the highlights for this effort this year?
Well, we had a lot of people help us out this year, which was the best part of the whole Christmas bird count. We had a lot of coverage on the water and in the community, and had a couple of new highs for birds. The biggest one for me, I think, was the black oyster catchers. We saw 49 black oyster catchers, and that's a new high. Our high before that was 17. So that's a really kind of cool thing to see this time of year. And we also had really high numbers on chestnut-backed chickadees and the Pacific wren, formerly the winter wren. And then some unusual birds, like the Savannah, we have a Savannah sparrow, which are here, but usually only here in the summertime. And then what's the other one?
Swamp sparrow.
Oh, yeah, the swamp sparrow. Sorry, I got lost. And then we had a swamp sparrow, which is normally not seen here at all. And Matt Goff found it up, I think, by the Russian blockhouse is where he saw it. So that was pretty cool. And then we have some unusual ones like Anna's hummingbirds. We had 6 Anna's hummingbirds seen, which is, I think we had 1 last year. So this year to have 6, they're hanging out on Glenken Island, which is pretty cool. And then, of course, the Eurasian collared dove, which I don't think we got a full count of the Eurasian collared doves. We only got 19, and I have a suspicion there's a lot more of them in this community than 19.
And your listeners don't realize this, but you are looking at a very, very long list of bird species here with numbers next to each one representing how many observers found during the Christmas bird count. Can we talk briefly about what the Christmas bird count is and what it means for citizens to go out and view birds and report them, Vicki?
Well, the Christmas bird count always occurs between December 14th and January 5th, and the organizers get to choose what day we do our count. I don't think very many people actually do it on Christmas. It started on Christmas over 100 years ago. The first count was in 1900, and it was in response to the tradition of everyone going out and hunting or killing birds on Christmas Day. And someone decided that they wanted to make a change and try to do something different, so they wanted to count. So the first count occurred Christmas Day 1900. There were 27 people, and they counted in 25 locations. 90 species were identified, and 18,500 birds were counted. And the Christmas bird count has continued that tradition for 114 years. That was what this count was. In Sitka, we started the winter of 74-75, and we've counted almost every year since then. Jen and I have been managing the count for, I don't know how long.
7 years, maybe?
Something like that.
We don't even know.
Quite a while. And over time, we've seen the number of people who are interested grow, and that's been a really neat thing to see.
And this year, you had a lot of people involved, didn't you?
Yeah.
We did. And the big thing for me was that we had some 4-H kids come, and they went birding with Scott Harris, and then a couple of them went out with their parents just in Jamestown Bay. And they it's just fun to have the kids participate, because we don't see a lot of kids, and, you know, they don't know their birds that well, but it's the way to learn. So they got to come out and just had a little area of birds to count, and they did a great job.
Well, why is it important that we know, you know, how many black oyster catchers or Anna's hummingbirds there are in Sitka?
So this is called citizen science. It's not hardcore science, but it's also not fluff. The information is really important and is utilized. The information from the Christmas bird counts in the early 80s helped to document the decline of the American black duck. And more recently, the bird count information was used to put together Audubon's Birds and Climate Change Analysis. And what they're doing is, most people have heard about the Threatened and Endangered Species list, but Audubon felt that that was not comprehensive enough, so they've made a couple more lists, Birds in Decline, and then the Watch List. And those are just helping to alert people to the fact that there are other birds that maybe they're not threatened yet, but we want to start taking care of them so that they don't become threatened. And it's the citizen science that is really helping to document those birds.
And is it keeping tabs on the movement of different species and how that might be changing over time?
Absolutely. That was a really important part of the watch list. As our climate changes, we're seeing birds move into areas that they weren't in before. And a perfect example in Sitka is the Eurasian collared dove. Jen and I are actually going to have to rewrite our checklist because the Eurasian collared dove isn't on it. And clearly it is now a resident of Sitka, and we need to add it to our list because it will be counted every year.
Yep, a breeding resident.
Yes.
So folks can go out and really have a concrete influence over our understanding of birds, not only in our neck of the woods, but, you know, throughout the United States. About how many folks went out this year? 40-something?
I believe it was around 42 or 43 participants. We had a lot of water coverage, which is something we don't always have. But I think it helped that the weather was really good this year. We got lucky and had a good day. And I think we had 4 boats out on the water, which is good because the water is a major part of our circle. And a lot of years it doesn't get covered that well. So it was really good to have people out there.
So where do folks go? What's the range?
So everyone has a circle, and a center point is set. And back in the 70s, our center point was set as the airport. And every Christmas Bird Count center circle has a radius of 7.5 miles. So if you can picture that in your mind, there's a whole lot of our circle that is in the wilderness or on the water. So a lot of our circle is not counted every year. But because it's pretty much consistent as to what's not counted, the data is still useful.
It's still consistent data.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what about bird feeders? Do people count at their bird feeders?
Oh, yeah. We had a bunch of people count their bird feeders this year. And one thing we forgot to do beforehand was remind people to fill their bird feeders because we saw a lot of empty bird feeders. So.
Bird, counting at the bird feeder is really, really helpful to us because at this time of year, a lot of times that's where the birds are. So we love to have people feeder count. And if you ever thinking you want to help us out, but not you're not willing to commit to a full day, all you have to do is commit to 15 minutes in front of your own personal bird feeder and let us know that data. And it's very useful and helpful.
What are your hopes for this program and how it continues in Sitka? Are you hoping it'll grow, that more people will become involved?
Yeah, it's always great to, it's kind of a new activity for people to do. Matt Goff always does a great slideshow every year when we have the organization meeting, and we had a lot of people come just to see the slideshow this year. They like to see the pictures of the birds so and learn more about the birds. It would be great if we got more 4-H kids to come. That's always fun to have the kids there, so.
One of our goals is to get people interested in birds. They don't necessarily have to count or be hardcore birders. But like Jen mentioned, we welcome people to come for the meeting and see Matt's slideshow because it really is wonderful. And it focuses on the birds in Sitka and what they look at like at this time of year.
So Vicki and Jen, where did you go during the Christmas bird count? Where did you traipse around looking for birds? And what birds did you see?
Our job is always to do all the routes that didn't get taken up. And this year, because we had so many participants, we only got 3 routes. But in the past, we've had probably 7 routes,
yeah,
or something.
And that's difficult.
Yes. So we were up on Edgecombe Dry. We were out HPR. Because we have multiple routes, we usually have to drive them rather than walk them.
Yeah.
So one person drives and the other person looks out the windows.
Yeah. Well, we're both looking out the window.
Yeah, don't tell anyone. No. It's just a fun day for us to get to spend the day together and look for birds because we work with birds every day together, but we don't exactly get to have just a relaxing day where we can eat snacks as we're driving around looking for birds. So
we should mention that you're at the Alaska Raptor Center.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And, I don't know what my best bird this year was. I always like to see the Harlequin ducks. They're so pretty. And we did see a Bohemian waxwing, one single Bohemian waxwing, which is another favorite of mine, so that was cool to see.
But last year was a big year for Jen.
Yes, I got to see a gray-crowned rosy finch.
Which was a life bird for her.
And now there's people out there listening, cursing my name because they didn't get to see it. I know it.
So this is a great event for enthusiasts like yourself or folks who are just interested in maybe understanding a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, how can folks get a hold of you if they want to know how they can become involved? And also the upcoming feeder count, how can they become involved in that?
Right. There is a feeder count every year. Unfortunately, I don't have the details, but you can just Google it and get the details. And the more participation, the better. It's another citizen science type of project that's very valuable. And then if you want to contact Jen or I, you can go through the Raptor Center. Jen is at the Science Center, and then I'm always at Pets Choice Veterinary Hospital.
And any numbers, phone numbers folks can call?
The Raptor Center is 747-8662, and that's probably the best number to use to get a hold of us. They can just leave a message because we're not there all the time, but
okay,
no problem.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
My guests have been Jennifer Cedarleaf and Vicki Vosburgh. They were talking about the Christmas bird count, which took place January 4th.